We're going over to 1 Samuel, and we'll go to chapter 16. And grateful how God, again, ministers to us in Scripture, so many levels, so many ways. But we're going to pick this up. What a sweet time of the Word of God. But this is in the 16th chapter. Saul has been rejected. The Spirit of the Lord is going to be given to David from that day forward. And God, because of Saul's choices, not because of what God willed, but because of Saul's choices, Saul will be even given an evil spirit from the Lord to trouble him. This will, again, perfect those things that God will bring forth. But getting back to that time when Saul's rejected, it hurt Samuel's heart. Samuel was very troubled by it. He loved Saul. And he did not really understand this. But see, God had God's man in mind. And I thank the Lord that God soothed Samuel with his word, with his, again, his grace, his faithfulness. And he tells Samuel in the 16th chapter that he is going to have one of the sons of Jesse come to be the king of Israel. And we'll go ahead and pick this up in the 7th verse. And it says, "The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not a man as a man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel." That is the first son there. "And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keeps the sheep." And that wasn't necessarily a compliment, as you're going to see. Even, well, I don't know if we'll get to that tonight, but even his brother, David's brother, when he comes to tell, when he comes to give food to the soldiers that are sitting there afraid of Goliath, and David's encouraged of the Lord, you know, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why are you letting this go on? And David's brother, as you'll read there, says to him, as he insults him and insults him, he says, you just get back to your sheep. Okay? So I want you to understand, maybe in the context of what Jesse was thinking here, he wasn't disparaging his son, but he was thinking, oh, wait a second, this is the little one that we tried to find something for him to do, so we set him out there with the sheep. You'll see why I get to that here in a minute, because the Holy Spirit takes us there. But he said here in the 11th verse, he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, well, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." See, that's what the royalty of God does. It has everybody standing up. A lot of good stuff in here. "And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." And tonight, have you ever been, or have you ever believed that you've been overlooked? Maybe that's your life story. You are just the volume after volume of I've been overlooked. Well, praise God. The Word's always got precious news for us, doesn't it? Because this may be the glory of all eternity that is yours, because He chose you in this life to be overlooked. See, when we are not highly esteemed with men, we have great opportunity to be highly esteemed to and of God. Praise the Lord. And tonight, let's just take a moment to look at this overlooked life of the greatest king of Israel. Isn't that wonderful? And I think the reason I love to look at David's life, and especially in this context, is the fact that David becomes king, the king. And in that king of Israel, he reigns and he is the reigning royalty of God's precious people. He's the reigning royalty of God's precious people. Praise the Lord, just like Jesus. And praise be to God, just like Jesus' wife will be too. Kind of gets us prepared for what the Lord has. But see, early in David's life, this glory didn't appear. The result of what God was going to do, it certainly wasn't there. We already begin to see in his life here that even his own dad overlooks him. When Samuel is called by God that it will be one of Jesse's sons that God has chosen to king and replace Saul, there's no thought of David in this lineup. Every one of Jesse's sons goes before Samuel, and not a one of them is God's choice. Samuel finally asks Jesse, "Do you have any more sons?" And Jesse has to really even almost think about it again. Well, wait a second, I do have a runt. I've got the youngest one out there. He's tending sheep. So in Jesse's mind, we have to understand this. You know he loved his son. I'm confident of that. But he was nowhere ready to be king. And maybe he was never to be king. But praise the Lord, David was God's man. And you'll notice here how sweet it is. David was the eighth son. Number eight. Reigning, ruling, bridal. Praise God. Lots of good stuff. Now, think of the story a couple chapters later. Matter of fact, just one chapter later. That the Bible tells us of David. He's not just a normal shepherd boy. He's not just the one that kept the flock. As he tries to convince Saul, King Saul at that time, "I'm able to go against Goliath because of God. I tended sheep." And he tells him that at one day there was a lion that took one of his sheep. And I went out after the lion. And I took that lion and I took the sheep out of the lion's mouth. I took that lamb right out of his mouth. Now, I wasn't going to mess with that lion anymore. And if you read the story, that's exactly how it went. But that lion wanted to mess with me. So I took the lion by the beard and I struck him and I killed him. And King Saul, I did the same thing to a bear as well too. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Do you not think that his father knew about that? I believe his father did know about that. I'm thinking that David wasn't boasting except in the Lord. But if he was ready to tell King Saul about that, I'm sure he told his dad. But you know, his dad wasn't thinking about that at that time, was he at all? He had already overlooked his son. He had already even forgotten about that. I don't know, maybe even Jesse thought that his son was just telling him a whopper. Did anybody see you do that, David? What do you think? Well, I'll tell you what, if I had a son that took a lion by the beard and smote him and did the same thing with a bear, I'll tell you one thing, he'd be in the lineup. But that's how God blinded the eyes of Jesse, his sweet daddy, about this precious son. And here it goes. David never makes mention of any discontent with his dad. It never makes a mention of David saying, "Dad, you weren't fair with me. You didn't treat me like the others." His dad calls his son, and that sweet David, he just shows up. He didn't hold any bitterness, any resentment. Praise be to God, because this was the man after God's own heart. I want you to think about that's a quality. That's an incredible quality for someone who's after God's own heart. See, God said this about David a chapter earlier in chapter 13. "I've chosen me a man after my own heart." See, God had already prepared this youngster. See, David was having fellowship with them psalms that God was going to bring forth way before he was called to be king. I don't believe David necessarily was surprised at all. I think if the Lord allowed me to take a lion by the beard and smite him, and a bear as well too, and I was just was he 8 or 9 at that time? Who knows? Do you think it'd be hard for God to call me to be king? What do you think? See, David was never shy to call upon God, was he? Because he knew that God was able. Do we know that God's able? I pray we do. Because we're even more without excuse than David with what God has revealed to us. So here we have this wonderful testimony that goes forth that this young boy is the man after God's own heart. Goes on with more testimony when he faces Goliath. He gets to the same point again in chapter 17. He's encouraged of his father to go take the food to the men that are on the front lines. Once he gets out there, he sees that they're just in total fear of this giant that comes out and curses God. David is just, he's boggled in his mind. He is so sad. He's hurt. He has great conviction. "What are you doing? Why would we be sitting here when the Lord thy God has shown himself so mighty over and over for Israel? Why are we just sitting here cowering to this uncircumcised Philistine?" Well, they listen to that, and his brother really overlooks him. Matter of fact, gets kind of jealous of him. He says, "David, you're just being prideful." You know that that's the first thing his brother tells him? Isn't that something, how the family of God sometimes will tell you things? They just are speaking out of line. They don't know what they're saying. I always said that about sweet Brother Hill. I could see ones that didn't want to grow up in the Lord. They would perceive him to be arrogant or prideful when it was just great faith. I'm not here to defend him. Don't need to. But I'm telling you the truth. He just believed God. And I'm so thankful to the Lord of the witness, the testimony, that God never changes. But see, he goes up there and he's overlooked by these men. He's overlooked by his brother. You think about, you know, they chose King Saul because he was tall, but I guess he wasn't tall enough, was he? Because King Saul wasn't sure, he sure wasn't going out there to fight Goliath. So I guess the choice for the tallest, there's always somebody taller. Huh? Well, got down to the point where, well, I'll tell you what. As he goes in and he talks to King Saul, and he tells him, he says, "You know, I've taken care of this lion, and I've taken care of this bear, and I know God will do it." You know, King Saul says, "Well, here, go ahead and take my armor, and just the Lord be with you." There wasn't any great statement from Saul, because I'm going to be encouraged in my heart to tell you, Saul didn't believe anything was going to happen except a kid was going to get slaughtered. And that's the truth. Because he wasn't trusting God anyways. He did care about the youth. He said, well, here, at least take my armor. But I love how David said, let me tell you something. I can't have this stuff. It's not tried. You know, this isn't proven. And David took it off. Isn't that something? Shows you again how God will encourage your heart. You stay with God. You stay with God. There'll be those that seem to want to help you in a lot of ways, but you stay with the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to David, and he had the word. Not because he was David, but because God was God. Amen? Now understand that and take that for our encouragement, brothers and sisters. You know, we can esteem different ones in a sense, but we esteem one another unto God. And when the word of God says it, that's what it is. There's nothing to add to. It's just the word of the Lord. But finally he gets, as he's continued to be overlooked, he finally gets to the place of meeting his opponent, Goliath. And, oh, did this man think, they sent a little boy out here that has no chance to even lay a finger on me? And praise be to God. What an opportunity for David. He was being overlooked again. Amen? Let me tell you something. It's always wonderful to be overlooked by your opponent. Ask many a good coach. When they don't take you seriously, you just got a big advantage. But the big advantage that David had is he had God. But let's go on over to chapter 17. And let's read verses 41 through 44. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. So see, Goliath believes he's really getting into a battle. He's thinking, okay, they're going to send their best out to get me. So I'm prepared. I got my guy who's carrying my shield. And I'm ready to take on whoever this is. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. Let's just say it like it is. They sent a pretty little boy out to fight me. I think maybe that's where pretty boy came from, was David, huh? And here he was. And it insulted Goliath. I mean, you talk about getting incensed. So you see how this being overlooked, I mean, not only does he just think that this is just a waste of time, he's also just mad and insulted. Think of these qualities that come before a great fall. There are just some very sweet things in here, little things that, you know, and whenever Israel lost battle, they didn't trust God, but they would count the men. See, that's when David, that was David's great fault. It really wasn't with Bathsheba. It's when he numbered Israel. When he was wondering, how big are we? Can we really do this? When God already taught him this a long time ago. Oh, honey, my specialty is when everything looks like it's helpless and hopeless. This is what I do. I don't take the giants. I don't need that. I don't need the monies. I don't need power. I don't need the great minds. I am that I am. And how wonderful that he showed David these things. And in verse 43, the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Basically, am I a dog that you little pretty boy are coming with me with sticks? You have a sling in your hand. And he's just beside himself. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So now we're really getting somewhere. Because, I mean, he's just incensed. He's cursing. He's just all wickeded up, you know. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thee thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And we know the end of that story. Praise God. But look at how all this set up. Overlooked, 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 overlooked. Isn't it amazing how God's choice is always the ones that are overlooked? Know that. See, man is always going to choose what they think is the fattest, the biggest, the strongest, all of those things. God always chooses the less of the least. Gilead, such another wonderful example. Esther, I mean, the castaway. Ruth, the widow. And I can't go back to my country. I guess I'll go with my bitter mother-in-law. I mean, come on. This is exactly the ones that he chooses. Just like all of us here tonight. We just have nowhere better to go but to another church service on a Sunday night. Can you imagine? Wow. Has it gotten that low for us, huh? Isn't that something? Praise be to God. No place else I'd rather be. Thank you, Jesus. But this is how God does it. His choice is always the overlooked. It's the shunned. It's the despised. His choice is always the stutterer, the prostitute, the chief of sinner. These are beautiful things. The widow's mite. The man who cries, "Remember me," on the cross. Or the man who strikes his head, bows his head, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Isn't that wonderful? That's it. As we know the word of God and know this, the last shall be first. The overlooked, often and always the overlooked, is the one that it will be shut up away for the master's use. And I got to thinking again, and I thank the Lord. He encouraged my heart many years ago with this. Don't feel left out when maybe your dreams haven't all come true. Don't feel left out even if you hadn't even had one dream come true. Don't feel left out or overlooked if you never got to do the one thing you loved. Amen. Because not only do I believe, by the grace of God, I know this. You're the most fortunate one there ever could be. Because you know what, by the grace of God, there's one big less thing to distract your life. Amen. You understand that it wasn't your calling in the first place. Amen. You have but one vocation, and that's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes. See, I understand the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But I'll tell you what, in all reality, he's just a giver. Yes, he is. And you understand that. But nothing there to distract us, entangle us, or hold us down. Paul knew this. The greatest privilege of his life was being stripped of all things. It was a privilege. God was giving him gifts of due benevolence. The gifts between a husband and a wife. Brothers and sisters, our Lord is enamored with the little short guy in a tree. He is. He's enamored with the widow's half cent. I always remember that fella. That guy told me, he said, there's a pastor, and he's still pastoring in this town, big church. And he was honest. He was one of his assistant pastors telling me. He said, I wanted him to meet this man. And I was sitting there having a lunch with him. And I said, oh, he's right there across the street. You could see him, I guess, out the window. And that pastor looked up and he looked at that man. And he said, no, I don't think so. And he said, I asked him, well, why? He said, he doesn't have anything he could give to our church. But the sad thing was, is that assistant pastor was still at that church. Jesus liked the half a cent. Jesus, praise God, loved the woman who couldn't be healed by any man. Amen? Yeah. The one that frustrated everybody. We've done everything for her and we can't heal her. But she's still alive. How is that happening? And then that Jesus fella, you telling me she just touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole? Oh, yes. How about how he loves the harlot ready to be stoned? The one caught in the act of adultery. So, are you being overlooked in this life? You think? You know you're not. But I'll tell you what, if you're being overlooked by man in this life, keep on losing your life for his sake. And oh, what a life of glory is yours. And matter of fact, you might even find it to be a life seated with him in the midst of the throne of glory. You think? Praise God. That's the truth. And I thank Jesus for that. I am grateful to God for just a few of the little things that I know he did in my life. And I thank him for that. If he has given you something that you've always wanted in life, and maybe you are doing having the occupation of the dream job that you always wanted, praise God for it. And yes, you can still have his best in the dream job, as long as the dream job doesn't have you. As long as you don't think that somehow that you are completely identified in who you are is by what you do. The vocation by God's grace, that is the only vocation there is that should rule and reign upon our life, is the calling of Paul's gospel. And that is the truth. Thank the Lord for it. Thank him, praise God, for faith. Thank him that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, David wasn't ashamed of that. But it bothered people, didn't it? It bothered the family of God. It bothered his own family. But David stuck with it. That young little pretty boy. He wasn't going to be deterred in that. He didn't care if he was being overlooked by man, his dad, his king, his brothers, the people. He knew whose eye was on him always. He knew that he was the apple of the eye of the I Am. And to you, a better thing. Don't go fantasizing and say, well, if I was just David and God caused me to grab that lion by the beard, I'd really believe God. Don't be like that man that said, Lord, if you're real, blow one of them candles out and I'll believe you. Because he's not going to do that. He won't. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And we have all the witness there could ever be. So praise the Lord. Like he's told us, if you're overlooked by man, you're sitting just fine, seated in the heavens with Christ. Your time will come. As we heard so many times, payday, someday. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand and just thank him again today before we leave together. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I love you and I thank you, God, for your truth and your word. Lord, we give you all the glory and the praise and the honor and thanks to you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, for the great mercy, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word.
Brother Dean, would you dismiss us?